Happy Sabbath. So exciting to be here again, to see your smiling faces. Miss Jeanette Baldwin also said that she sends her regards to the Elmira Church. So she's always thinking of you as well. And it's so nice to see everyone here today as we were sharing our praises and prayer requests. I can't help but think of all the people who are struggling out there, all the people who are hurting out there, all the people, like someone said, that Satan is attacking and doesn't want to bring them into the church. But at the same time, there is a God who is powerful. Amen.
Amen.
We have a great and mighty and awesome God.
Amen.
And that's what encourages me. Even when we feel like we are the only ones, God says that he has 7,000 who has not bowed the knee to Baal. And so praise the Lord that we're going out there and we are sharing our faith, you know, with our coworkers and with the people that we meet. That's such an exciting thing that's happening here in Elmira, and we have a lot of exciting things that are going to happen here. And before we start our sermon today, can anyone tell me the title of the sermon? Brotherly Love in Tension. All right. So we're going to go into the sermon as well and study this in the book of Philemon. In the book of Philemon. How many people here have read Philemon? A lot of people have. It's a great book. It's an amazing story. And so we're going to go through the book of Philemon. But before we study the Bible, we must pray and ask God for his blessings. Yes, so let us bow our heads and ask God to come and bless us today as we study his word. Father in heaven, Lord, we're so thankful. Another day of life. We do not take it for granted, Lord. Because we know that there are many people in the world that woke up, that didn't wake up this morning, and you didn't grant them life. And so, Lord, we're so thankful that we're here on Sabbath with life. And Father, we ask that we may have life more abundantly in Christ, that you may send your Holy Spirit as we dive into your word, Father, and we study eternal life. We study Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that his Spirit may enter into our hearts and our minds. Help us to understand your word. Speak to me, Lord, and speak through me, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I love you, but I hate slavery. I love you, but I hate slavery. This was a quote from Frederick Douglass to his former slave owner, Hugh Auld, in 1857. Frederick Douglass was an African-American social reformer, an orator, a writer, and a statesman. As a slave, he didn't have the life of ease. He would often be whipped and psychologically tormented in order to slave break him. This is what the slave masters used to do to their slaves so that they wouldn't run away. But later he broke free from his slave owner by jumping the Philadelphia, Wilmington, Baltimore Railroad train that was headed towards Pennsylvania, which was an anti-slave stronghold. Frederick's entire journey to freedom took less than 24 hours. Then he wrote back, and here's an excerpt of a letter that he wrote back to his former slave master, Hugh Auld, saying, "My dear sir, my heart tells me that you are too noble to treat with indifference the request I am about to make." This is Frederick Douglass writing a letter back to his former slave master. He says, "It's been 20 years since I ran away from you. Or rather, not from you, but from slavery. And since then, I have often felt a strong desire to hold a little correspondence with you and to learn something of the position and prospects of your dear children. They were dear to me and are still. Indeed, I feel nothing but kindness for you all. I love you, but I hate slavery. I feel nothing but kindness for you all. I love you, but I hate slavery." When Frederick Douglass became a free man, he became a great orator and preached the gospel here in New York City as well and around the world. And when I read this story, I often think, could I have done what Frederick Douglass did? And that's right back to his former slave master telling him that he loves him. Telling him that he loves him. I don't know if I could have done that. But when we look in the book of Philemon, we have almost a similar situation. A former slave that ran away from his slave master is now returning to confront his past with his former slave owner. Paul wrote the book of Philemon. And Paul writes this letter to Philemon, who is the slave owner, to receive the former slave, Onesimus, back with open arms. So let's read the book of Philemon. There's only one chapter, so today we're going to read the entire book. You can go home and say, we have gone through an entire book during Sabbath. So let's read the entire book in Philemon chapter 1. Philemon chapter 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the only thing that we know, there's only two things that we know of Philemon in the entire New Testament. The first thing we know is Philemon was a slave owner. The second thing that we know of Philemon was that he lived in a city called Colossae. So there's only two things that we know about Philemon. He was a slave owner. Now, slaves were treated differently in New Testament times. They weren't treated like how we think slaves were treated like in the Civil War. They were treated differently. Back then, the majority of slaves were employed in domestic service in households, and they could expect to live a better life than slaves who were working in the land or in the fields or in ships or in mines. They could actually have a good life. Clement of Alexandria, he was a Christian theologian in the second century, and he wrote these words of slaves, calling them domestic servants. He said, "Domestic servants, too, are to be treated like ourselves, for they are human beings as we are. God is the same to free and to slave." Back then, slaves were treated much differently. They had a higher social status. They were able to make a living. And so Philemon had domestic servants or a slave in his house. And Paul says in verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you," how many times? "Always in my prayers." Paul constantly had what you could call a prayer list. And in this prayer list, he had many names. And you could be sure when Paul prayed in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, he would go through his prayer list, and you know whose name would be on that prayer list? Philemon. Philemon, he would pray for every day. Paul was not the type of person to say, "Philemon, I'll pray for you, brother," as he was leaving to end a conversation. Paul, when he said that he would pray for somebody, he meant it, and he prayed every single day, morning and evening. Verse 5, Paul says, "Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." You see, right now, Paul is writing to Philemon in Rome. Paul is a prisoner in Rome, and he's writing to Philemon, who is in Colossae. And Paul writes, "I heard of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints." My question would be, how did he hear of Philemon's love in Colossae? How did he hear of the love that he had toward Christ and toward all the saints? Only way that he could have heard was from Onesimus, and that was Philemon's former slave. And so Onesimus had to have told Paul how the man who was his slave master used to be a man who was a godly man, a man who ruled his house well, a man who loved Jesus Christ. And so Onesimus was definitely a Christian. His attitude had only positive things to say about his former slave owner. Sometimes when you feel mistreated as a Christian, when you feel like somebody has done you wrong, how will you speak about that person? Would you slander that person? Would Onesimus slander his slave master? Or would you look like Onesimus did at the positive traits that God gave them, and would you pray for that person who has spoken behind your back, who has said some things that you didn't think were right? Onesimus told Paul that Philemon had love for Jesus and he had love for his people, verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Paul is opening up this salutation, indicating to Philemon what he already knows. And what is Philemon? Philemon is a man who loves God and loves the people around him. His love brings great joy and consolation to the brethren. He has love for his people. And this isn't a type of sentimental love that Philemon has. This is, in the Greek, the word is agape. This is a love that comes directly from God. This is a love that God has for his people. And this is the exact same love that Philemon has for the people who are in his house, and the love that he has for Christ. What kind of love do we have for our fellow brethren? Is it the sincere type of love? Is it the agape type of love that we have for one another, that no matter what a person does to us, we will love them? Or is it the sentimental kind of love? It's only shown when we have a good day. And that's the type of love that we show. I believe that if we have an agape type of love in our churches, in every single church, that this will help foster authentic Christian communities. If we had this kind of love shown in our church, this type of love would help our churches foster this Christian community that we so desperately need. Because right now we live in an individualistic age when many people struggle with having a commitment to a real Bible-centered Christian community. We like to be on our own. We like to be by ourselves. We don't like to commit to community. And part of the reason that we lack this type of community in our churches is because we lack the genuine agape Christian love that we have for one another. God is revealed in relationships more than through individuals acting on their own. God works through communities. Paul knew that Philemon had a church in his house. In verse 2, Paul knew that Philemon had a church in his house, and that was, those two members were Apphia and Archippus. This was the church in Philemon's home, and Paul also knows, because he has heard of Philemon's love that he has for all the saints. And this loving Christian community existed by the agape love shown through Philemon. So Paul, what he was doing in his salutation, was he was opening the door for this Christian community and this love not only to be extended to Archippus and Apphia, but also to be extended to his former slave, Onesimus. Sometimes in a Christian community, it takes all to be selfless in order for that Christian community to grow. But sometimes God may place you as a leader to show in that community what agape love looks like, therefore helping to ignite a Christian community. In verse 7, we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the heart of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Philemon had so much love that when people were around him, they were refreshed. Imagine walking into church every single time you walk, and you were to see an elder, or you were to see the pastor, or you were to see any member of the church. You walk into church and you see that person, and instead of looking at that person and saying, "Oh, not him again," you would look at that person and take a breath of fresh air and say, I'm refreshed by you, brother. You are so refreshed by this person because he is surrounded by the atmosphere of heaven. Imagine what our churches would look like if we had the type of love that Philemon had. The type of love that was so refreshing that we walked into church and we were excited to worship God and be with his children. Because it was so refreshing to be around that person. This is how Philemon was. What would Christian fellowship look like if this was us? If we were to be like Philemon, refreshing the saints wherever we went, what kind of Christian community would we have? Verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. See, Paul in verse 8, he says, you know what, Philemon? I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. You are one of my converts. I also wasn't taught by Gamaliel. I wasn't taught by all the Pharisees. I was actually taught by Jesus Christ himself when he appeared to me on the road to Damascus. He taught me the valuable skills in order to reach his people and the truths that he wanted to reveal. I have authority, Philemon. So in verse 8, he says, I could be very bold in Christ to command you to do what I'm about to ask you. But instead of that, for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you. I'm not above you, Philemon. I'm not below you. We are both equals. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak in your love language because that's the type of language you speak to all your saints. So I am going to speak in your love language. I am going to appeal to you. Though I'm old and a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I'm going to appeal to you in love. Verse 10. This is the appeal. This is why this book was written to Philemon. In verse 10, Paul says, I appeal to you for my son, who? Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. I appeal to you for my son, says Paul. Now, did Paul have children? Not literal children. He had spiritual children. Wherever Paul went, he was converting people. So Onesimus was Paul's spiritual child. Let me tell you the story of what happened. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. He worked in Philemon's house and took care of all of Philemon's things. You could say that Onesimus was kind of like a Joseph in Potiphar's house. Philemon had trusted him with everything. And remember, slaves during this time had a much higher social status, so they could be trusted with the owner's possessions. So Philemon was trusted in Onesimus was trusted in Philemon's house. But one day, Onesimus decided that he just did not want to be a slave anymore. And rather, Onesimus wanted freedom. So therefore, what Onesimus did was he escaped from Philemon's house. And for some reason, Onesimus also decided that he wanted to defraud his master. So what he did was he looked around the house and he says, you know what? I want to make a trip to Rome, but I don't have that much money in order to buy the ticket. And he looked around his master's house and he saw all the beautiful HD TVs that his master had. And he looked at all the prized possessions that his master Philemon had. And he said, I need to take these so I could sell them and get money to buy the ticket to head to Rome. So Onesimus looked around the house and he saw all the things and he took some things that were valuable and he took off. Later that day, Philemon comes home and he not only realizes that his slave Onesimus is gone, but he also realizes that his HD TVs are gone as well. He looks around the house and he sees his most valuable possessions gone. Onesimus is gone. And Philemon, now I could imagine what's going through his head. So Onesimus made it to Rome, being a free slave. And at that time he encounters a man, the most unlikely of men, in prison out of all places. And that man was named Paul. He encounters Paul in prison. And I could just imagine, Onesimus must have thought, look at this man, Paul. I know he's a Christian. Philemon must have talked about him a lot. This man is in prison. And look at me, I am free. I could imagine Onesimus looking at Paul saying, what advantage does Paul now have over me as a Christian? He's in prison. I was a former slave. I don't have God, but I at least am free. But then he starts listening to Paul's words because Paul starts speaking to Onesimus. And Onesimus starts realizing that Paul has something that he does not have. Yes, Paul may be in prison, but Paul has some freedom that is far better than this world could ever offer Onesimus. And he starts listening to Paul's words. And Onesimus, though he ran away from his master and was not a Christian, listens to Paul's words and was now converted, and he becomes a Christian. He actually becomes a very powerful Christian. He learns a lot from Paul. And he's so entrenched in his words, and he grasps everything, that Paul notices this person is truly converted. And then he speaks to Onesimus, and he says, Onesimus, there's something now that you must do that you didn't do when you weren't a Christian. Now that you're a Christian, you have responsibilities, and so Onesimus, you need now to go back to your former slave master and right the things that were wrong. So Paul tells Onesimus that he needs to go back to Colossae and meet Philemon. And this is the letter that Paul gives to Onesimus. By his very own hand, Onesimus is to take this letter back to Philemon. And I know that this is a difficult task to do because Onesimus could say, look, I have been converted. Why do I need now to go back and confront my past? I'm a new Christian. Why do I need to go back and confront the things that I did in the past? But Paul says that you must do these things. So he goes back with the letter in his hand, and I could imagine Onesimus trembling, going back to Philemon's house. He hasn't seen him for years. Paul knows that this is going to be difficult. He doesn't know how Philemon's going to react, but in verse 10, Paul says, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. This is my spiritual child. I have begotten him while I was in prison. He became a Christian. Verse 10, though, in English, and if you have the King James Version, might have read somewhat near to my version, where it says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. The last word in verse 10, I don't know, in your Bibles, in mine, it says chains. That's the last word in my translation. Or bonds. Same thing. Chains or bonds. But in the Greek, the word order is different. Paul doesn't write the way that we in English write with our verbs and nouns. Paul writes differently. And so, Paul writes in the Greek a different word order, and this word order reads like this. I beseech you concerning my own child, whom I have begotten in these bonds, Onesimus. Philemon is now led into the inner chambers of Paul's heart in verse 10. You see, Paul knows that Onesimus was Philemon's slave. And if Paul had mentioned Onesimus' name first in this verse, Philemon could have said in his heart, Onesimus, and then forgotten everything that Paul was about to say. But he reads, Onesimus, he could have said, is my slave. He has misbehaved. He has stolen all my things. And therefore, Philemon could have had bad feelings against Onesimus. But first, what Paul wanted to do was he wanted to tell Philemon of the love that he has for Onesimus. It was his own child, begotten in his chains. Who was it? Oh, by the way, it was Onesimus. He wanted Philemon to know that he was his spiritual child. And in verse 12, Paul says, Onesimus, this man who I have spoken about in verse 11, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my what? My own heart. When Onesimus comes back and you see him face to face for the first time in how many months or years, I want you to look at him and I want you not to see your former slave. I want you to see my heart, Philemon. That is what I want you to see. Verse 13, he says, I wish to keep with me that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. You see, Philemon, I wanted to keep Onesimus. He was a great asset to me. But I'm sending him back. Verse 14, without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. What Paul is saying is he's saying, I wanted to keep Onesimus, but I didn't want to do this by compulsion. If I would have kept him and not let you have known, it would have been by compulsion. You wouldn't have known, and it would have been forced upon you. But what I want to do now that Onesimus is converted is I want to send him back to you. And if you were to send him back to me then it would have been voluntary. But I didn't want to do anything by compulsion. And then, in verse 15, Paul says, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. What was the purpose that Onesimus left Philemon's house? It wasn't because he wanted to become free. Paul said this purpose was so that he could become converted. And that was the purpose that he departed from your house, to become converted, so that when he comes back, he can serve you as long as he lives. And then Paul says, when you receive Onesimus, receive him as you would my own heart. But then in verse 16, he says, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul first says is, when you meet Onesimus again, Philemon, I want you to receive him as you would receive my heart. But not only that, I want you to receive him not as a slave, but as a beloved brother, much more than a slave. Onesimus, when he left Philemon's house, he left a slave. But now he returns profitable. Onesimus left a slave, but now he returned free in Christ. Onesimus left with nothing, but now Onesimus returns with everything. This is the power of the gospel. We try to free ourselves, only to find that we are slaves in bondage to sin. We meet Christ, then we are set free. We are poor and broken before Christ, but finding Christ, we are made new and whole. This is the power of the gospel in the story of Onesimus. But it gets better. In verse 17, Paul says to Philemon, if you count me then as a partner, receive him as you would receive who? Me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that where? Put that on my account. Paul says that if Onesimus has done any evil to you, maybe he had stolen those HD TVs. Maybe he's stolen something valuable that was very treasurable to you. But now that he's coming back, I want you to receive him as you would receive myself. Not only that, but if he did wrong you, I want you to put all those wrongs on my behalf. I will repay it, Paul says. Do we get a response from Philemon? The book of Philemon never records that Philemon ever responded. But all we get is a hope from Paul that Philemon would do what he asked and much more. In verse 21, the Bible says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. How should the love of Christians respond in situations of extraordinary tension and difficulty? How would Philemon respond? Paul says that Philemon would respond higher than expectations. He would respond exceedingly higher than what he asked for in the letter that he sent to him. But in this story, we find something deeper than just Onesimus as a slave returning to his slave master and his slave master asking him to forgive him. We find a deeper story in this book. In this story, we are Onesimus. Paul is portrayed beautifully as Christ. We are slaves to sin, trying to free ourselves and running away from our master. We have done evil in the sight of God, and we are trying to run away from him. But in our quest to run away from him, in this quest of life, we happen to fall before an unexpected person. We run into Christ Jesus, who is represented by Paul in this story. When we listen to the words of Jesus talking to our soul, we are converted. And like Onesimus, we are Christ's child and protected by God. Now, anything that we have done, Paul says, put that on my account. Jesus Christ says on the cross, anything that these children have done, put that on my account, Jesus Christ says. I will repay it. This is a story about you and me. God is speaking through Onesimus, Paul, and Philemon. Because of the love that Christ had on the cross, I appeal to you today. Jesus Christ was the one who came into our lives, and he said, I will repay the debt that is owed on your behalf. In times where it's so difficult to forgive one another and to not have that Christian love, that agape love, in those difficult times, I plead with you, look to Jesus Christ. And look how he has forgiven you. And he did not say, you need to pay for your own sins. No, he said, I will pay. And I just plead with you today that if you say with me, no matter the people in my life who have hurt me in the past, no matter the people who have done me wrong, that I will forgive them because I will look to Christ and see how he has forgiven me. I will look to those people and I forgive them, and not only that, but I will do much more. I will love them with the agape type love that Christ had for me. If you want to say that, please stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you see us standing. Father, you have spoken to our hearts this morning. We ask, Father, that we love the brethren as you have loved us. Father, we ask that you help us to be like Philemon, who, whenever people came around him, they were refreshed by his love. Father, help us to develop a community that is authentic in our churches. Help us to develop this community where you dwell, where your love reigns, and where people feel comfortable. I pray, Father, that you help us to forgive the people who have done us wrong. I pray, Father, that you help us to not only forgive them, but also love them with an agape type love. Put this in our hearts, Lord. Help us, Father, to become the children you want us to be. For we ask in Christ's name. Amen.